Thank you. Be seated.
The court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Brook v. Brooks.
If this court,
may it please the court, my name is Evelyn Isles from Iowa, Mr. Richard Orpinger of San Antonio, representing Mr. Jerry Brooks, who is the father in this child custody dispute. We are here this morning to discuss the appropriate jury instructions in a child custody case where a non-parent intervenes in the custody case and seeks managing conservatorship in lieu of one of the natural parents. The trial court decided below that if a non-parent intervenes and seeks custody jointly with one of the parents, then the determination of custody is made as if just the parents were seeking custody under the familiar best interest of the child. We believe that the trial court's instructions were erroneous. When is here a non-parent intervene seeking custody in lieu of natural parents, there are different considerations in determining the best interest of the child. And by 1987 amendments to the Family Code, the legislature has greatly strengthened each parent's rights in this state to raise his or her child in lieu of a non-parent. Under amendments to Section 14.01 of the Family Code, the legislature provides that a parent shall be appointed sole managing conservator, or both parents shall be appointed joint managing conservators, unless the court finds that the appointment of that parent or parents would significantly impair the child's mental health or physical development. Our argument this morning can be summarized in three words. Shall means shall. Despite offering the trial judge pattern jury charges and charges reflecting language from this very court, the judge below refused to instruct this jury that to appoint grandparents in lieu of a natural parent, they had to show significant impairment. Basically, the trial judge said that this statute is irrelevant to Mr. Brook, even though he is the natural parent, even though he's seeking sole managing conservator. The trial judge said that this statute is irrelevant to him. An absent redirection, I'd like to discuss three issues. The standards governing this court's review of the statute, and then turn to the lower court's opinion and why we believe it's erroneous, and then lastly address the issues of harm and reversal. Turning to the standards governing this court's review of the statute, of course the court must first look at the statute on its face. The statute does say that a parent shall be appointed sole managing conservator. Firstly, we believe that the statute needs no construction, that it is mandatory and requires any time non-parents come in that they be required to show significant impairment and that the jury be so instructed. But if this court finds that the statutory directives are unclear as to whether 14.01 is mandatory or directory, in the case of Chisholm versus Bewling Mills, this is a 1956 Texas Supreme Court, provides the analysis that this court should apply. There are three prongs in determining whether statutory directive should be mandatory or directory. First, this court must look at the legislative intent behind the statute. Secondly, it must look at the policy considerations of holding the statute merely directory. And third, it must ask if these directives are addressed to substantive or procedural matters. Legislative intent. The legislative intent behind the amendments to Section 14.01 were expressly addressed in this court's opinion in Llewellyn versus Llewellyn. In Llewellyn, Justice Doggett, writing for the majority, did say that this statute now explicitly limits the circumstances when non-parents may come in and seek custody in lieu of a natural parent. Under this opinion, now non-parents must affirmatively show specific acts of the parent that would cause significant impairment. This court believes that these amendments greatly strengthened each parent's right in this state to have custody of their children over non-parents.
Well, that does certainly reflect the writing in Llewellyn. Why is it that there should be any enhanced showing when you're going to have a parent who will have custody, they just happen to be sharing that custody with a non-parent?
First of all, I believe that's not what the statute says. I believe if the legislature wanted to say that, they could have done it in 15 or less words. If non-parents want to be appointed in lieu of both parents, they must show significant impairment. Maybe the legislature was unartful, but when you read it, it seems like they're trying to cover every situation. A parent shall be appointed sole managing. Both parents shall be appointed joint managing. I don't believe that the statute was trying to express that. And also, I think there's policy reasons why that should not be the law.
Why isn't the policy that underlies the statute satisfied when one parent is appointed a managing conservator? That happened here.
Well, I don't think it would foster legislative intent because it's not fair to both parents. Clearly, it wasn't fair to my client because the statute, if we read it like that, is simply irrelevant to him. Even though he's a natural parent seeking sole managing conservatorship. And that analysis, I think, is good on paper.
Certainly, he would have no basis under your argument to be here if instead of being a joint managing conservator, the wife had been appointed the sole managing conservator.
If the jury would have, yes,
right.
He would not be here today.
He would be here.
That's
so
correct.
Why does it make a difference that her rights are not sole rights as managing conservator, but are shared and joint?
Because in this situation, we do have non-parents. I mean, we do have non-parents obtaining managing custody in lieu of a natural parent. We do have that here. I think the analysis should be whether a non-parent is appointed in lieu of either of the natural parents. You're just looking at whether a parent was appointed. And I just disagree with that analysis.
You mean the mother is not functioning as a custodial parent? Correct. Is that what you're saying? The order was for joint custody of the grandparents and the mother, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
But only the grandparents are functioning as custodians. Is that right?
Well, under the judgment, the mother and the grandparents do have joint managing custody. So, in reality, the mother is a managing conservator of the child.
The rights of the mother and of the grandparents appear to be equal, do they not?
With yes.
Their, under the court's order.
Yes.
And the family code doesn't forbid grandparents from serving as managing conservator so long as, you say, as the enhanced showing is made.
Yes. I believe that grandparents or non-parents can serve with either parent as managing conservators if they prove significant impairment.
Would the issue have to be submitted separately for the grandparents? In other words, the parent wouldn't have the increased burden, but the grandparents would under your argument.
Yes.
Showing that failure to grant servership to the other parent would be detrimental.
Yes, and we believe that should be done by jury instruction.
Would such a showing, an enhanced showing on the part of the grandparents of necessity prevent there ever being a joint? If the showing were made and the jury found that neither of the natural parents should serve, how could you ever have joint conservatorship such as that the court decided to have here?
Well, I think in this situation, because the way the parties asked the jury to decide, sole and the mother, sole and the father, or joint with the mother, and the grandparents. Absent of showing a significant impairment, I believe that the jury's only choice in this case, as in a normal custody case where it's just the parent, the jury would have had to have chosen either the mother or the father as sole managing.
Right. In other words, the position that you are advancing would prevent there ever being a joint managing conservatorship between a father and a mother and grandparents.
You mean between a father and a mother?
Or a mother. And it could work either way, but you would never, under the standard that you're advancing, the argument you're advancing, you simply could not have a joint conservatorship between a parent and a grandparent.
No. If this jury would have been instructed on significant impairment, and they did find that Mr. Brooke, my client, would pose a significant harm to the child, then they could have appointed the grandparents along with the mother as joint managing conservators.
You wouldn't have had to have found a significant impairment with reference to the service of either parent in order to have the grandparents involved.
That's probably true, Justice Garnett. That's probably true.
That you would have to have that showing, or you would not?
That you would, but it wouldn't be likely that the child of the grandparents is going to seek that instruction.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can appoint one of the parents sole custodian without such a showing, why can't you appoint one of the parents joint custodian, non-parent, without such a showing? It seems to me that such a showing is required only if it works to the exclusion of both parents in favor of a non-parent.
Okay. And that's why I'm here this morning, because what we have in that very situation is a non-parent being appointed in lieu
but jointly with one of the parents.
Well, that benefits the parent that's appointed jointly, but you still need to consider the other parents who have not been.
If the non-parents were not involved, there would not be no showing would be required to exclude the other parents.
That's correct. It would be determined by the best interest of the child's standard.
So you're saying by the fact, the mere fact that the grandparents, non-parents, were brought in as joint custodians with one of the parents,
well,
it requires a showing that the other parent who was not included as a custodian.
Yes, Judge, because under these amendments, the legislature has said that each parent in this state, not just one that's lucky enough to have, you know, their parents come in. I mean, this statute should protect every parent. I mean, in this case,
it doesn't protect the parent if the non-parents are not involved, does it? The court wanted to give the mother physical custody of the child to the exclusion of the father. This showing would not be required.
You mean if they wanted to give Mrs. Brooke sole managing conservatorship?
Right.
Right.
Okay. Why? Simply because the grandparents are brought in with her as joint custodian. Would it be required?
Because in that situation, the result is that you have a non-parent being appointed a joint managing or a managing conservator in lieu of a natural parent. And this is what the 87 amendments were addressed to. It says that you can't have that. You can't have a non-parent be appointed in lieu of a natural parent unless there's a showing of significant impairment. And that's what happens in this case. We have a natural father who seeks custody of his little girl, Annalyn, and there's no showing of significant impairment. The statute should be applied equally to both parents. I mean, if this court affirms the lower court's decision, they're basically going to say that the statute is irrelevant, has no import, has no meaning to this natural father seeking sole managing custody.
I'm not sure I understood your answer to Justice Doggett's question earlier, but is there any way, under your reading of this statute, that a parent could be appointed joint managing conservator with the grandparents? Is there any way that could happen?
Yes. In this case, it could have happened if the jury would have been properly instructed on significant impairment. And if they would have found that Mr. Brooke would pose a significant harm to the child, if they were properly instructed, then he can be disqualified and the mother and the grandparents would be appointed jointly if that was their decision.
But under your reading, it says a parent shall be appointed sole managing conservator.
Mm-hmm.
or both parents shall be appointed joint, unless there's a finding that, that appointment of a parent would be an impairment.
Well,
so how could you ever do, how could you ever appoint a parent and the grandparents without first finding that neither parent, that both parents would impair the child's welfare?
Well, first, I think you need to look at the posture of who's seeking what. I mean, if the parents come in jointly and seek joint managing conservatorship, then I believe that non-parents would have to come in and prove significant impairment on, you know, of both parents. Here we have, you know, the husband and wife each seeking sole managing conservatorship. And if there's no finding of significant impairment, then maybe I'm not answering your question.
No, your view is that one could be shared joint managing conservatorship with the grandparents if the other spouse was, if the other parent was shown to impair their child's well-being.
Right. And if in this case they would have been instructed as to significant impairment and they found that Mr. Brooke did significantly impair the child, then this award of joint custody could be upheld and they wouldn't be here.
Any other questions? Thank you, Karen.
May it please support Mr. Michael Bonlaw, attorney.
May it please support. I'm Mike Bonblon. I represent Bonnie Lee, who is remarried. She's a former Bonnie Brooke and her the maternal grandparents of Anna Lynn Brooke, and that is Lawrence and Barbara Bierman. This is a unique case, and I think reviewing all of the case law in Texas, there is not a specific case that is factually on point regarding this fact situation other than a Dallas Court of Appeals case, and that's the Connors v. Connors case that I believe this court is probably very familiar with.
Does this problem come up very often, despite the fact, you know, lack of appellate record, or are we really dealing with something that's only going to happen every few years?
Judge Phillips, I don't think that it's, I'm board certified in family law. I've been practicing for approximately 12 years in Harris County, and I don't believe that it comes up very often. This is the first case that I've had of this situation in the 12 years of practicing in primarily family law matters. We are here not, as Ms. Off indicates, to because a non-parent was seeking custody in lieu of a natural parent. We are here because a parent, a non-parent, maternal grandparents sought custody jointly with a parent. I think that's a big distinction here. I think there's two issues that this court is hearing today, and they're both important issues. First of all is whether Section 1401B of the Texas Family Code is mandatory or merely directory. And secondly, if in the event this court rules that it is mandatory, then was the misstatement of the law at the jury level reasonably calculated to, and did it probably cause rendition of an improper judgment? I'll first deal with the first issue, obviously.
Mr. Bonblon, let me ask you, following up on the Chief Justice's question, doesn't it frequently occur that the parents, the grandparents, will support a parent in their effort to obtain sole custody and, in essence, testify that the child will be under the care of not only the parent but the grandparents, and that they will all work as a team?
I misinterpreted Justice Phillips' question then. Yes, it does happen. I interpret this question as meaning do they formally come into court seeking joint custody?
I think you understood his question the same way I did. But my question is, even if there's no formal plea for joint custody of the grandparents and a parent, doesn't it frequently occur that if, when a parent seeks sole custody, they will enlist support of the grandparents to come in and say, we'll all take care of this child together?
Often, and it, as a tragedy of today's society, that occurs often because you have two working single parent, and the single parent that does get custody, many times will be living at home with the grandparents because the older couple is more the traditional family where the housewife was a housewife staying at home, or the parents or grandparents are retired or semi-retired and have the time to assist in the day caring.
Let me ask you, on going to Ms. Ailes' question, she, what I heard her saying really was this is an issue of fairness in the child custody battle, where you've got two parents that are fighting it out. If you just look at the conditions of the two parents, one of them is likely to become the sole managing conservator. But the balance of the issue changes if the grandparents come in on one of those sides offering the traditional family setting and changes the balance of the outcome of this case. And Ms. Elf is essentially arguing the reason the statute put in the significant impairment is because that may be the real outcome. And the legislature has made a policy statement that regardless, we're going to prefer the parent of the child to any non-parent under the circumstances. Yet this anomaly where we've got the two parents fighting, the grandparents come in on this side in a formal request, change the balance of the outcome, and are not subjected to this higher standard, depriving this other parent of the opportunity to have the managing conservatorship of the child.
Let me see if I can answer it this way. I think that what you have is you have a parent seeking custody with non-parents and maternal grandparents. You, first of all, as this court is aware and it's embedded in our law and in the family code, and pursuant to 1407 of the family code, the best interest of the child is paramount. And it's not necessarily what is fair to a parent. We ought to look at what is fair to the child. And what we have,
the legislature has already predetermined that that is not the test if you're having a battle between non-parents and parents.
Well, I think if you also look at 1401B, and I think the questions were appropriate to Ms. Ault, if you have to have a finding, if you look at the at 1401B and determine it's mandatory, then it doesn't. Then there's no way that a grandparent can seek joint custody with a parent because you either have to appoint the parent as sole managing conservator or joint managing conservator, and there's no other options unless you find significant impairment. And I don't think there's any, if you look at public policy, there is any reason to elevate the burden on a party to show significant impairment if the parents, the grandparents, are coming in formally with the parent and doing what they normally do many times anyway without seeking formal care, and that is to provide financial assistance and provide some help in child rearing. If you all...
Actually, though, hasn't the legislature made a policy determination that in a family situation, it's going to be the parents against each other? At any time some outsider comes in, there has to be a finding of significant impairment. Isn't that, in effect, the policy that the legislature has determined?
I think what the and there's no legislative history on it. There certainly has been talked about it in opinions like Judge Doggett's opinion in Llewellyn, but there's no legislative history in reference to that. I think what the legislature was trying to do, and it's an honorable thing, and it's what should be done, and that is to give preference to a natural parent. What they in this type of situation, with this outcome, there has been preference given to the parent because a parent has been appointed managing conservator. And if you look at the facts of this case, there are no facts that indicate that the maternal grandparents were going to be the primary caretaker. They testified, and the evidence shows that the mother was going to be the primary parent, that the maternal grandmother didn't want to step in as a parent. They wanted to be grandparents. Maternal grandfather was not going to be a parent. He wanted to be a grandfather. And the only reason was because that Jerry Brooke, in their opinion, had been manipulative of Bonnie Brooke, and they wanted to protect Bonnie and the possibility that he might be manipulative to Annalyn Brooke, the little girl here. And they were just simply trying to protect from that standpoint. I think that is, I don't think the legislature was trying to prevent grandparents from assisting and coming in as joint management servitors in that situation. And I think mainly what they were looking at and what the focus was and should have been is not appointing some third person solely or grandparents solely management servitor. But it doesn't make any sense. Public policy.
You said that they were coming in order to keep him from being manipulative with the little girl and with his ex-wife. Couldn't that be the jury issue that would be anticipated in the finding of impairment?
Judge, it could be.
If that's what the legislature had in mind, that there had to be some significant reason to involve any outside person in this family matter. If the legislature says, as desirable as a court might think, well, it's fine for grandparents to assist and help them, we'll just let them help and we'll put them on the order. If there hasn't been a finding, then don't we have a problem?
Judge, I don't think that's really what the legislature had. If that's what they intended to do, then certainly you would have a problem here, possibly, and I want to get to whether it's reversible error or not. You certainly might have a problem, but I don't think that's what the legislature intended. I think what the legislature intended was to appoint someone, to have someone be the primary caretaker, regardless.
Let's look at what the legislature said when we determine what the intention is. What did the legislature say about a jury finding?
Under the section, it talks about that a parent shall be appointed sole managing conservator or the parents joint managing conservators unless there is substantial or significant showing a significant impairment of the physical or emotional. Certainly that's what the legislature says in the statute, but I believe that is only directory and not mandatory for the reason that I stated previously. I think what they were really trying to do, Judge Gamage, is try to prevent someone coming in, a non-parent coming in lieu of a parent. You don't have that in this situation.
But you do have it. The reality is that the grandparents are taking care of the child, which they couldn't do if they just went in on their own without making the enhanced showing.
And first of all, under the evidence of this case, there is no evidence that the grandparents were taking care of the child. The evidence is contrary to that.
The child's in Houston.
Correct.
And the mother's in Canada.
That's absolutely inaccurate, and we dispute that. The mother is living in Houston, has been living in Houston, has visited maybe a total of 2 to 3 weeks since this order was entered, but she lives in Houston. That is not accurate.
If she lived in Canada.
All right.
The grandparents would be able to accomplish by a far lesser showing through her assistance what they could not do by themselves. And the legislature might have wanted to prevent it.
Legislature might have wanted to prevent that. I don't believe that's what they wanted to prevent.
But isn't, I mean, from this point forward, the way for the grandparents to get the child is to simply join their son or daughter as joint managing conservator, and then you don't have to make a show.
I think you also have to look at what the evidence showed to the jury. The jury is obviously the determinator, the fact finder in the case, and they heard the evidence that the parents, the grandparents, maternal grandparents, were not seeking to be the parents, and they hadn't been the parents, that the mother was going to be the parent. And you can have that same.
Then why did you make this trial strategy determination, or whatever you call it? I mean, why did the grandparents join in this suit to be joint managing?
Judge,
Phillip, they weren't really going to primarily be doing it.
I think it's not so much being a primary parent to the little girl, but to be able to protect from the manipulation of Jerry Brooke. They believe that he, at one point, while they were married, he was married to Bonnie, had an emotional hold on her and knew how to push her buttons, and that's how she got involved in the sort of illicit, unsavory activities that were brought out in the trial, and wanted to assure that that would not occur, and to be there and available, not necessarily to parent Anna Lynn. Now, let me go on, if I might.
Am I correct then? You're saying that their purpose was to protect their daughter, not the granddaughter.
To do both, Judge Spector, to protect Bonnie from being manipulated in the future from her ex-husband, and also to make sure that Jerry Brooke didn't attempt to try to manipulate Anna Lynn like they believed he had to his ex-wife.
But you weren't prepared to allow the jury to determine if that would, in fact,
Judge, I just didn't think that that's what the legislature intended, and so we presented it the way that we did as far as the best interest of the child. Now, let me go a step further. Even if this court was to determine that 1401B was mandatory, I don't think there's reversible error in the court's and the jury finding anyway. And basically, as indicated before, the jury never heard that the maternal grandparents wanted to be the parent of Anna Lynn and wanted to raise Anna Lynn. The jury...
That's my question. Are you conceding that there's no evidence supporting the verdict awarding joint managing conservatorship to the grandparents?
No, I think there is evidence to support the verdict granting joint managing conservatorship to the grandparents.
But they don't want to be joint managing conservatorship. I mean, aren't you saying that they told the jury that they didn't intend to be parents, they intend to be grandparents, they intend to be supportive of their daughter in the raising of their granddaughter? I mean,
they wanted to.
Aren't you saying that there's no evidence for the jury that they wanted to be managing conservators of this child?
No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. They wanted to assist her in the parenting, but that she was going to be the primary parent. For example, testimony came out, well, if they disagreed with something that's disciplining or in some manner of raising Anna Lynn, whose decision would override? And certainly it would be the mother's, Bonnie Lee's, determination, because she's the mother and that they would defer to her. And so they were going to assist in the parenting, but they were going to allow their daughter to be the primary parent of Anna Lynn.
What if they said no, they were going to be... She'd shown such a poor judgment that for the same reasons they ought to share conservatorship, they would call the shots. Then would that be, then would there be a different standard?
That's a closer call, and you may have a different standard. I don't
Where
think
do
that's
we get that in the statute?
Pardon me?
Where do we get that in the statute?
It's not in the statute, quite frankly. And you may have a different situation there if the mother is basically unfit to care for the child or something of that nature, but you don't have that situation here.
Well, I mean, suppose they just came in and in all candor said, look, we're not sure we could make the enhanced showing, but we don't think we have to if we join our daughter here, and that's what we're doing. We're going to be the parents, and we think the best interest of the child governs. In that case, you say, it might go either way.
Judge, that's a closer call there, and quite candidly, and it is a close call here. But and close call, certainly, it goes to the preference of the parent, but here you don't have a parent being excluded, and the focus shouldn't be excluding a parent from Anna Lynn. The focus, I think, should be, and I think the legislature intended it to be, from excluding Anna Lynn from being raised by one of her parents. You don't have that situation here. Focus from Anna Lynn's perspective, and she's not being excluded from being raised primarily by one of her parents. She is being raised by one of her parents. And I think the improper focus that Ms. Alt is trying to get this court to hone in on is Jerry Brooke has been excluded from and hasn't been treated fairly. Need to look at Anna Lynn and whether she has been excluded from being raised by a parent. And she certainly was not excluded from being raised by a parent because a parent was appointed as a managing conservator of her. And that's what the evidence indicated she would be doing. Anyway, I don't want to go in through all of the various facts as far as Jerry Brooke's background and the activities that he's been involved in. I think this court is aware of it and certainly can read the briefs that I think certainly lay it out very in very much detail. However, I think that it would, even if the court determined that 1401B was mandatory, which I submit it's not, that this would not be reversible error because there's sufficient evidence to believe that the appointment of Jerry Brooke would significantly impair the relationship, the emotional development of the child. And so therefore, I don't think it is reversible error. If there are no other questions, then I appreciate and thank you for your attention and consideration of this very delicate and important matter.
You're saying then that as a bottom line, the statute applies only in managerial conservatorship is vested in a non-parent.
That is correct.
Exclusively in a non-parent.
Exclusively in a non-parent. And I think that's the public policy, and that's the reason for it. There's a good base in the foundation for parental preference, and that parental preference is not undermined by the Connors decision or the 13th Court of Appeals decision in this case. You certainly have a parent, a child being raised by her parent, and I think that is being satisfied.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'd just like to laundry list again one more time, maybe for the first time here, the policy considerations in holding the statute merely directory. If this statute is held merely directory, it permits the burdens of proof in a custody case to change simply on the fortuity of how the case is brought. If the grandparents simply ally themselves to the parent, then their burden of proof change. It weakens the parental presumption, which this court recognized in the Welling of that 1987 amendment, to greatly strengthen each parent's right in this state to raise his or her own child.
Was there any instruction, as I understand it, it was submitted either the father, the mother, or the grandparents, or joint grandparent mother. So was there any instruction that if the jury was to choose only the grandparents, they would have to find the impairment?
No, there was no impairment instruction in this.
At all. So the jury could have determined that the grandparents were the mentioned.
There were the best, it was just the best interest of the child that was submitted. And why would grandparents ever seek seek sole managing conservatorship when they could simply join with one of the parents and have their elevated burden of proof dispensed with? Again, despite Mr. Brooke being a natural parent seeking sole managing conservatorship, this court will have to say that the statute is irrelevant to him. Overall, Mr. Brooke, who did take care of this little girl for 3 years, has over the last 2.5 years been denied custody of his only child, his minor daughter, Annalyn. He has spent thousands of dollars to enforce his rights as a father, which the legislature has stated he shall have. The statute must have some relevance to him. It applies to him. It is unambiguous and mandatory. It should be applied fairly to each parent in this state. We request that this court hold that shall means shall, and reverse and render judgment to appoint him sole managing conservator, or alternatively reverse and remand to the trial court based on erroneous jury instructions for a new trial. And thank you very much for your time.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the third cause. All three of the foregoing causes are submitted on brief and oral arguments, and the marshal will now adjourn the court.
Yeah, please rise. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.